Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Welcome, everyone. So glad you're joining us today. You know, depending on what part of the country you're in, you might be having beautiful weather in California, or you might be knee-deep in 4 feet of snow like I am out here in Colorado. But whatever you might be encountering, this is a show to stop and listen to because we're going to talk about money today. And a lot of people are on tight budgets right now. A lot of us, even if our businesses are going well, or if we're, you know, in a great job where we're earning a great living, there's a lot of changes in our economy. And unfortunately, a lot more people are suffering through this economy and a lot of the things that we can't control. But today we're going to talk about things we can control to turn that money situation around. And we have a guest, and she has a great book out, and it's all about killing Robin Hood, apparently. We got to find out what this means. Today, Janine Elias is going to join us, and she is a relationship expert specializing in the development of relationship-based business practices. She's author of Kill Robin Hood, The Surprising Truth About What It Really Takes to Get Rich. She is also the CEO and founder of the Elias Relationship Academy, which provides training and support on relationship-based businesses. Janine, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for being on, and I'm really excited about talking about this book because Janine sent me a copy before the show, and it was a really good book. It brings up a lot of things about money and changing our mindset that you don't really talk about, and I'm assuming that's because you're a psychologist. Am I correct?
I do have a background in clinical psychology.
Well, okay, so let's start off, and I just wanted to ask you, what inspired you to even write this book?
I had decided in 2010, I believe it was, that I was unhappy with the current state of what was happening in America, and I got in my car and decided to drive across America and go to all of the cities and states associated with the founding of America and interview people, asking them what we could do to make America a better place. And I did a video blog, and I interviewed some amazing people. And while I was doing this, the Occupy movement was happening. And I did not make it to Occupy New York, but I did make it to Occupy L.A. And what I noticed is that they had taken mannequins of bankers and hung them over a tree with a noose, and they had masks on like they were bandits from the Wild West and they were going to rob a bank. Excuse me. And at that moment, it occurred to me that what we were experiencing in our nation was the Robin Hood mentality. And in order for us to overcome the challenges that we were facing, both individually and financially as a nation, we had to kill Robin Hood.
Well, the cover, I have it up on the bbsradio.com site. I love your cover. It cracked me up when I first saw it. So why don't you explain a little bit about the general concept before we get into some of the details, which I think a lot of people want to find out. You have some really good tips and tools. So, kill Robin Hood. What exactly do you mean by that?
We see Robin Hood as a romantic hero who is going to rescue us from the filthy rich. And when I first came up with the idea for this title, people would say to me, kill Robin Hood. Why would we kill Robin Hood? Isn't he one of the good guys? In fact, he was one of our favorite childhood heroes. And killing Robin Hood is actually killing the concept that someone or something outside of ourselves is blocking us personally or trying to keep us down in some way. When we kill Robin Hood, we free ourselves from the idea that someone else needs to come to our rescue. We free ourselves to create any life that we want. And the pivotal point is that wealth itself isn't the enemy or something that only greedy people have. We can all obtain wealth by simply changing our relationship with money. And I wrote Kill Robin Hood to help the American people develop the confidence that we need to not only take control of our own money, but to transform our relationship with money and how we think and feel and about money and how we relate to money on a daily basis.
You know, I'm glad you're bringing this up because I feel the same way. And although I would be considered someone in the truth movement and very anti-establishment of, you know, overreaching government corporations, you know, a lot of the things that systems and structures, you know, I still really would like all of us who believe in a better world and raising consciousness to get rich, because then we could change the world faster. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting into more detail with you, and hopefully you can inspire people to change their mindset, because the more money we have, we can get free energy, we can get solar roadways, we can stop child trafficking, you know, and have the money and the power to really turn this world around.
And I'm so glad that you brought up that point, or taking it from that perspective, that we can use money as a tool to affect change within our communities and within our lives. It's very, very powerful. Absolutely.
Okay, so you give us, you know, a lot of things to look at in your book, and obviously in this show we can't go over everything, and if people are excited, they can find your book very easily. Why don't you let everyone know your website, so if anyone's listening and they want to just go right in and look and see what you do?
My website is JeanineElias.com. And if you go to JeanineElias.com, there's a series of different websites all intertwined in one. And so you could see my Janine's Adventure, where I went across America and interviewed folks. And then you can see different trainings and programs that I offer. And you can also access the book, Kill Robin Hood, there. And the book is not just Kill Robin Hood, but it's the surprising truth about what it really takes to get rich. And you can also access Kill Robin Hood at Amazon.com, at BarnesandNoble.com as well.
So one thing I'm really curious about, Janine, because of your psychology background and also your research, and you work with a lot of different individuals. What was that mindset that you really noticed when you were traveling? Were people, because I'm kind of feeling like people don't have as much hope and optimism as they actually had 10 years ago about being able to create what they want financially. What did you notice?
What I've noticed, when I was going across country, I wasn't actually talking about money. I was asking people four questions. And the questions were, what do you love about being an American? What can you do as an individual on a daily basis to make America a better place? What are you unhappy with in America today? And what can you do personally to become part of the change of what you want to see in America today? And it was very much about empowering the individual and taking personal responsibility. And as you were saying, that sometimes people don't feel, or it appears that people are feeling hopeless or helpless in their ability to affect change and especially gain any financial stability. And the key is, if we're focusing too much on the outside, so if we're watching news shows and we're reading news outlets, more often than not, you're going to see doom and gloom because that's what sells most, unfortunately. And they're focusing on one aspect of the negative. And for every negative, there's usually 10 or 20 positives, but we're not seeing that. We're not experiencing that. And that's part of the concept behind Kill Robin Hood, is to take it back to your life, your personal individual experience, what's happening right now in this moment where you are. Sometimes what's going on in the world and across the country and with the government and with international conglomerations, it just feels so big that we feel so helpless in our ability to affect any change, which makes us disassociate and redirect our attention. And sometimes one of the things that we'll do to make ourselves feel better is spend money or spend money that we don't have on things that we don't necessarily want because we're avoiding this pain or this discomfort. So part of the aspect and the surprising truth about what it really takes to get rich is developing wealth is very simple and absolutely anybody can do it. However, it is something that takes time, and it's something that it takes time, it takes focus, and it takes impulse control. And so in order to do this, you have to have a clear vision of what you want to create in your own life and not focus so much on a global perspective, because then it can seem overwhelming and we can give up and become paralyzed. And so the process is to really turn inward. So what's happening in my life? And what can I do in my little corner of the world to make a significant contribution for my family, for my community, for my religious practices or spiritual outlets? A lot of people like to volunteer for their spiritual experience, the church or their synagogue or, you know, the temple. And so identifying what's important to you, and I call this connecting with a true meaning of wealth, because I didn't write Robin Hood to say everybody wants to become a millionaire, because everybody doesn't want to become a millionaire. What the average American person wants is to have a job that they enjoy, that earns them a good living, that they can take good care of their family, they can have a nice retirement, they can take vacations, they can donate or spend a little extra money wherever they might want to and sit and relax in a home that they bought and paid for. That's ultimately the American dream. And we hear all these, you know, get-rich-quick schemes and, you know, become a millionaire, have this huge elaborate house, everything's supersized and gigantic. And so many people, we don't even want that, but we haven't focused on what we want because we're constantly bombarded and inundated with advertisements and perceptions or concepts of what we should want that we haven't looked inside to see what it is that we want individually. And very often what we want is something very different than what the outside world is suggesting or pushing on us to have. And because we don't take that time to be silent and to get crystal clear about what it is we want our life to be and connecting with what the true meaning of wealth is for us, we can become overwhelmed. And when we haven't identified clearly what we want to create in our life, we don't know what we want. And so let's say someone has decided they want to buy a house, that, or even a smaller purchase item, they wanted to buy a new car. Well, they're going out to lunch with somebody. They happen to be at a mall. They go by a store, and they see this new technical gadget, which is a couple hundred dollars. Or maybe it's only $50. And they say, well, you know, I could buy this, but I want to buy this new car, so I can't afford both, so I'm going to wait and buy the new car. But if they weren't clear that they wanted the new car or a house or a bigger, they wanted to take a vacation or they wanted to put that money somewhere else, they'll just spend it because they don't have a plan. And so this is one of the many challenges that we face, having that crystal clear vision of what we want to create in our life. And then once we know, we can dedicate our resources, both our financial resources and our time and our networks associations, to creating that life that we want to experience.
Well, I think that's a good point because, you know, you have families are a great microcosm, I think, of the macro world, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. you have you know, rich people, relatives, poor relatives, in the middle relatives, you know, and you can observe human behavior really easily within families. And you'll see that some of the maybe the more, you know, lower income, uneducated members, they'll go spend a lot of money eating out, fast food. And, you know, and it's so funny because it's like sometimes I'll look and go, geez, you just like spend $100, you know, and I'm like, I would never do that because I'm so into budgeting and, you know, investing in real estate and stocks and other assets. And so my husband and I probably consider the cheapest people in among all of our relatives, but we're really frugal of building, you know, residual income sources. And so we put all of our money into those, investing in those things. And I think getting clear about where you want to spend your money, because think of the younger generation too. They'll go out and buy a $700 iPhone, but they won't have a car. You know, and so, and that's okay if that's what makes them happy. But I think we do waste a lot of money sometimes, or, you know, maybe we go the other end, like I tend to do, and save too much and not enjoy a little in the present moment. So what would you tell people that either have one extreme or the other? Like, what advice could you give us?
Well, one of the key components of living a successful life is having balance. And success for each individual would be different, just like wealth for each individual would be different, or for each couple or family. Because when you, when you're married, you're bringing in not only your dreams, but your partner's dreams. And they might be similar, but they're not exactly the same. And so part of the ability to communicate and articulate what you want, identifying what your partner wants, and figuring out how it can come together. So you were saying you and your husband are investing in real estate. But there's a component where, yes, you want to save money, invest, but you also want to have a play fund. And so there's a recommendation of breaking your money down. And the average American today has $2,000 to $5,000 in debt. 30 years ago, the average American had $2,000 to $5,000 in savings. And so it's a huge difference in the paradigm and how we move through the world. And people aren't even thinking about saving and not focusing on the future, which is most unfortunate. And this is where you have people that they're spending money is burning a hole in their pocket, if it's in their pocket. I think part of the challenge is the disconnect that we have, that we don't use the folding dollars for the most part. We, our paycheck comes to us and it's direct deposited into the bank. We don't go to the bank to get cash to go out for the weekend like we used to do. We used to get a check from our employer, have to drive the check to the bank, put our money in the bank, take out cash, and then spend the cash that we had in our pocket. So we were very much aware of our money and what we were doing with it. Today, it's more of an idea. It's not a tangible thing. You can swipe a card. You go shopping, you spent $500, and you didn't even blink an eye because you're just swiping this card, not realizing what's happening in your account. So that's some of the challenges that people are facing when they're spending. Like you said, you just talked to someone, one of your family members, that they went for fast food, they went and bought a gadget. Next thing you know, they spent $100 in the blink of an eye and they didn't even realize it. So being more mindful of what they're doing, more connected with their money on a physical level. And then for creating that balance or having that happy, that space where you are not feeling deprived of certain pleasures because all you're doing is savings, is to break your money into compartments. So your income.
So Janine, this is an important point and we have a quick break. So let's hold that thought. When we come back, we'll speak with Janine Elias and we're going to talk about how to break out that budget. So thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Hello, I am am Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have developed a proprietary system that reveals accurate insight into someone's personality traits called Namology Science. This science of unlocking the secrets hidden in a person's name has become so popular that I am offering a Namology Science coaching certification program. Join our international community of certified Namology coaches. Go to knowthename.com for details.
Have you been told you should write a book? Do you need a little help getting started? Or maybe your manuscript is already written and you require some fine-tuning before you publish. Big Country Publishing offers writing coaching packages that are custom tailored to you. Contact Big Country Publishing today so they can help you to get your book and message out to the world. Learn more at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Angelic Sound Healing by Amazon's bestseller Ted Winslow. Experience the healing tones of these divine frequencies as you call upon your angels. Transcend yourself into the angelic realm and let your spirit soar to the sensation of theta binaural beats. Now available on Amazon and iTunes, Angelic Sound Healing by Ted Winslow.
Welcome back, everyone. So we're having a great conversation about money today. Janine, right before break, I wanted to find out, now you were giving some steps and some ways we could break things out when we looked at our money habits.
Yes, there's a formula for developing wealth and creating balance in your life so that you don't feel that you are being deprived. It's very much, you know, saving money can be very much like attempting to have a healthy lifestyle with food. And you're thinking, well, I'm not having that chocolate cake because it's going to interfere with my health and fitness goals. And I'm not buying that new electronic gadget or those new shoes because it's interfering with my financial goals. And we can feel deprived. So there's a way to do that. So when you're dieting or watching what you eat, I don't like to use the word dieting. If you're watching your food intake, you would eat a smaller piece. And so when it comes to your finances, there's a formula, a very specific formula. And so the formula would start out where you would take 55% of your income initially as you're gaining control of your income. And this might vary. I'm going to tell you the formula, and then I'll tell you the things that people say to me when I tell them this. And
okay.
So, and this is not an uncommon formula. So the formula is 55% of your income goes to your living expenses, paying your rent, paying for your car, paying insurance, paying health insurance, paying for your food, your electricity, your phone, your, you know, all of that sort of thing. Your basic living expenses would go 55% of your income. Then 10% of your income off the top needs to be taken away and gone into what I like to call the golden goose account. You could call it your financial freedom packet. You could call it your freedom account. You could call it your golden years packet, whatever you want to call it. But that 10% is the concept of you pay yourself first. And that 10% goes into an account that you never in your lifetime touched the principal of that account. And I'll come back to that in a moment. Then you have 10% that goes into education. And in this ever-changing world that we live in with the constant changing of technology and leading cutting-edge new information of any field that you're in order to be maintained viable in your career, or even as an individual to grow and develop individually and increase your self-awareness and your emotional intelligence, you must continue to educate yourself. Take training courses, take a class, go to an event in your industry, and you can also make connections and network that way. So 10% needs to go to education. And then you have 10% into large saving funds. So big saving items. So those big saving items would be, like if you want to buy a new car, so you would be putting your savings over there. If you want to take a vacation, you want to take a trip to Hawaii, a trip to Europe, or something like that, that would go into that account. In that account, you would also have your money for if your house needs a new roof or your car needs new tires. So this is an account that you have that you would use for emergencies and or other ticket items, that you, larger ticket items like a new washer and dryer or a new computer, that sort of thing. And this way you have this account, you would not be tapping into your Freedom account that I had just mentioned or your Golden Goose account. When you have emergencies, you don't tap into that account. You never touch that account. And then you have another 10% goes to play. And so that account, these other accounts, your education account, your large savings or large item purchase item account, those accounts, you can save those accounts for an entire, the education fund for an entire year. After that, you need to be using it for something. Like if you had some big event, training event that you wanted to go to that was far and you had to fly and travel and the hotel and you needed all that money, that's fine. But, and the same thing with your large ticket account, you can keep saving that. But your play account, you must spend that 10% every month in your play account. And this is where the balance comes in, and this is where you don't feel deprived. Now, you can, if you must, save it for only up to 3 months. If you wanted to take a weekend away, or you wanted to do, you wanted to have a spa weekend, or you didn't have enough in that 1 month account to give you something that you wanted, but was play. So your play account is where your money to go to the movies comes from. The money to go to the movies and your entertainment does not go from your 55% of paying your household in expenses. Going to the movies is not an expense. You do not have to or need to go to the movies. Also, your play account is going out to dinner. Going out to dinner is not in your regular food account. Going out to dinner is not in your expense account. You do not need to go out to dinner. That is a pleasurable opportunity to do outside of. And this is a paradigm shift that we have to have. So many Americans don't cook anymore. They don't even eat at home. Some people don't even know what to do with an oven or have any idea what a crock pot is. And so we really need to start cooking. That's a whole other story. So that play account, that's what that play account is for. Going out to dinner, getting your nails done. Now, if you are a professional, and certain types of grooming and upkeep would go into the expense. So getting your hair done, buying new makeup might go into your expense account or it might go into your play account. So you would need to look at how you're setting that up. And then the last 5% goes into charitable donations. So this is where you would donate 5% of your income to whatever organization that you felt a connection to. Now, the challenge that people say to me is that, Janine, my expenses are more than 55%. My expenses take everything. I don't even have room to save anything. And this is where it's time to look at where are you actually spending your money. I actually have some action steps in the book for you to write down, because in order for you to create a budget, oftentimes we don't even know where our money's going, and we're able to pay our bills by the seat of our pants, and we're not even know how we did it, how we were able to do it, or wherever we came up with the money. And this is where tracking is key. We need to stop being an ostrich and sticking our head in the sand and pull our head up and say, okay, what's going on with our finances? And more often than not, I find that people, their finances aren't anywhere near as bad as they actually thought they were. And sometimes they're far worse. But either way, if it's far worse, you need to do triage and stop the bleeding and start the recovery. And often it's not nearly as bad as you thought it was. And there's places where you can start changing your spending habits to get you in the position where you are experiencing the 55, 10, 10, 10, and 5%. And then at a point, ideally, you would drop it down to your living expenses only being 35% of your income, which would then allow you to increase your charitable donations or increase what you're putting into your nest egg or whichever area that you wanted to increase. And if you don't have money, so you might say, well, I don't have money for charitable donations, you can also provide the service of your time to charitable organizations. So that is the formula to create balance and to begin putting yourself in a position where you can experience financial stability.
I really like that you are teaching people to put 10% into their retirement fund or whatever you want to call it, and not take, so many people teach, go give 10% away to charity off the top. And I don't agree with that because they'll give 10% to the Red Cross and they won't have any money in their retirement account at all. And organization, I'm not picking on the Red Cross, but these, some of these huge nonprofits, their CEOs are making $450,000 a year flying in private jets. Okay. So I'm not against giving to charity, especially if it's an organization like maybe the Salvation Army or, you know, Feed the Children, some of them that, you know, really work to get the help directly to the people and they don't have all these administrative costs. But I know so many people that are small business owners that don't have anything put aside for themselves. And but they'll give away a lot of money to charity because they think that's the law of attraction and somehow that will manifest all this huge money coming in. And I've observed it for over 20 years, Janine, and I don't see their circumstances getting better. And so I like how you're teaching people to take care of themselves too.
Well, and you need to take care of yourself first before you take care of anyone else. When, you know, they talk about when you're in an airplane and the oxygen mask comes down, you don't put it on the child, you put it on yourself first so that you don't pass out so that you can then help the child. And when it comes to charitable donations, there's an aspect about charity that I think is very important. When giving to charitable donation or doing some type of charitable donation, you do not have to give to an organized charity. You could have a family member who is in need of assistance, and you go buy them groceries. And I don't necessarily recommend giving family members cash or friends that seem to be in a bad way cash, because I've seen when you give somebody who doesn't have the ability to manage their finances cash, they just blow it on something, and then you get angry and frustrated that you gave it to them and they spent it on something that you didn't think they should spend it on. And so you can do one of two things and give them a gift and let go your attachment to where they spend it, or you could go buy them a gas card or go buy them a gift card for a grocery market or go actually buy them gifts or go buy them groceries or pay their gas bill for them. And so there are many ways to provide a charitable donation. And one of the things that a statement that I heard growing up is charity begins in the home. So we often have family members and friends that are in a bad way, and we don't help them, and we're giving things to perfect strangers. And sometimes helping somebody closer to us and helping them in such a way that they can learn to help themselves can be far more empowering. And that's the way things were done, you know, 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago, where you were helping people in your community, not sending money to places, far off reaching places.
So, okay. I love that teaching. I think those are some really good tips. What about, you know, we're kind of talking relationships here, right? And you're the relationship mm-hmm. expert, and you brought mm-hmm. up a good point. Someone who's struggling, don't just give them cash, because that's not going to help the situation if that's your, you know, charitable contribution. You talk a little bit about in the book, and I'm so glad you bring this up. You have no idea. This has happened in my personal life so much. When you talk about in one of the sections, take a closer look. This is the name of your chapter. Take a closer look at the company you keep. Can you expand on that and give us a little education, Janine, on that topic?
Yes. I cannot express enough how important and how powerful your sphere of influence is. And I say sphere of influence with the company you keep because the five people that you spend the most amount of your time with or have the most influence on you will determine where your life will be in the next 5 years. There is significant, substantial research to support this fact. So if you are, and the fact that success leaves clues. So the people that you spend most of your time with will determine where your life is going to be and how it's going to unfold. And so to give you an example, like one of the examples in the book, is if you have a friend who their money is burning a hole in their pocket and they can't save to, you know, save their life, then if you go out with them, they're going to say, let's do this, let's do that, let's buy this, let's spend that. And you're shopping and you're looking at something and you don't want to buy it for a variety of reasons. And they're like, oh, come on, treat yourself. You deserve this. And then you say to yourself, well, yeah, I do deserve this. And next thing you know, you spent $50, $150, $500 on something you didn't necessarily want, you didn't necessarily need, and it blows the budget that you had. Whereas if you had another friend who said, you're sitting there eyeballing something, and they said, you know what? This is really cool. I understand that it's on sale, but there's an investment opportunity over here that I was going to look at. And why don't you come with me and check this out? And if you're interested in this and you like it, you can put your money there. And if you're not, those shoes will be here tomorrow. You can come back and buy them later. And that would make and break your entire life. Just by the company that you keep and people saying, hey, why don't we try this? The same thing with your spouse or your romantic partner. If you have a romantic partner that spends your money faster than either both of your money is faster than you can make it, then the odds of you as a couple creating any form of substantial wealth are little to none.
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with that. You know, years ago before I met my husband, I wrote down on my little list, I wanted him to be frugal with money. And so now every time I call him cheap, he says, well, you asked for me, so I can't complain. But that is true. And it helps a lot if you do have a partner who is, you know, not into spending money on extravagant, spontaneous things, because I've seen people really get into some tough spots when their spouse will do that.
Yeah.
So as far as, this is something I think, Janine, a lot of people struggle with, is that, okay, you look at your finances, you look at who you're spending time with. We read all the self-help books, the Law of Attraction, The Secret. We want to create wealth and change things in our life. And it feels like it's impossible, and even though you do the steps. So we have a quick break coming up. But Janine, I really want to talk to you when we come back about how you get people and how you work with people so they can really see that success on their horizon.
Okay.
So we will be right back. We're speaking with Janine Elias, and her book is called Kill Robin Hood, The Surprising Truth About What It Really Takes to Get Rich. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned because we have some good stuff coming.
When it comes to publishing, there is a difference. At Big Country Publishing, they work with you on a personal level to create a custom publishing package that's tailored to your needs as an author. Their design team and experts in the industry will contribute to you to create the book that you've always dreamed of. Isn't it time to go big? Contact them today at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Do you feel stuck? Do you feel empty or lost? Have you tried to clear what's not working from your life and have the same issues coming up over and over? There is hope. A heart and soul healing session can retrieve your soul and heal your heart so you can feel love, joy, peace, and abundance. Contact Claudia McNeely today at www.askclaudia.com and feel better now.
Hello, my name is Ted Winslow, and as a professional singer, songwriter, musician, and audio engineer, I have worked with voice coaching for many years. I created a new CD, Vocalist Scales and Intervals, for my clients who are looking for an easy and affordable way to improve the quality of their voice. So, if you're in broadcasting, public speaking, or in the music industry, you will benefit from the voice exercises. Just load it into your MP3 player and you're ready to go. Vocalist Scales and Intervals by Ted Winslow is now available on iTunes, Amazon, and BigCountryPublishing.com.
Welcome back. So we are talking about money and how we can change things. And Janine's given us a lot of information and a lot of tools today. So Janine, you know, as we implement some of these concepts, and I know people can purchase your book and go to your website, and I'm going to mention it now before we run out of time. So Janine's website is JanineElias.com, and also Kill Robin Hood is on Amazon. So Janine, what give us that hope that, you know, where a lot of people, where they feel like they can't turn things around, they do the steps, but they're just, you know, what successes have you seen? What can people look towards optimistically with these tools?
Well, sometimes, like you were saying, someone feels like they take one step forward and two steps back, and that no matter what they do, something else comes their way. So they start getting some money saved up, and then they need new tires on their car, or, you know, they fall and break an arm, and then they can't work. And so they feel like they just can't seem to get ahead. And the most important thing that we can do is as we identify the fact that life is going to get in our way, it's not a matter of if something is going to happen, it's a matter of when something is going to happen. And the key component that we need to have is preparation. And they say success is when opportunity meets preparation. So you have prepared for what could potentially be coming your way. And part of preparing is not just the whole aspect of saving money or the physical, tangible aspect of it. And I'm not an investment banker, and I'm not a, you know, I can't tell you how to invest your money or where to invest your money. I'm a relationship expert, so I can help you transform your relationship with money and how you move through the world so that you develop the skill set that you need, that you have the ability to cope with the downfalls that might come your way and to continue moving through them. And part of doing that is and to have the level of motivation that you need. And so one of the things that I do, and actually one of the key components that all of my programs are based around, is helping you create an unprecedented level of personal motivation in your own life so that no matter how many times you might trip or stumble or fall, or that something might happen, there could be a natural disaster, all sorts of things could potentially happen, that you have the ability to not only keep going, but to move yourself forward exponentially, more than, say, the person next to you or the person next door, because you have a clear vision of what you want to create in your life. And when we have a purpose, and I personally believe, and I call this your big enough why, I personally believe that every person on this planet has a unique purpose, a special gift that only they can share with the world. Something that we were literally born and put on this earth to do. And we've all had dreams at one point or another of the things that we wanted to do, but life gets in the way. We got married. We had kids. We took a job because it just happened to be there, but wasn't necessarily what makes our spirit sing and makes us really happy. And we get too busy with the day-to-day of life that we lose track of our dream. And our big enough why is our dream for a better life, what we always hoped would be, but never got around to actually making it happen. And when we focus our attention on our big enough why, and we develop a clear vision and a definitive purpose, this is where that unprecedented level of personal motivation can come in. And we need this motivation and direction to keep us focused to create long-term financial stability, to begin to develop financial independence and transform our relationship with money. And this is all about our relationship with ourselves, how we make sense and attach meaning to our world and our environment and the people that we surround ourselves with. And so these little tools, these little pearls or tips and bits of wisdom are the surprising truth about what it really takes to get rich.
Well, I know that we can look at our purpose and, oh, is my purpose to do something really big in my business or, you know, but I think our purpose could be something even smaller. Like, I think my main purpose is to nurture my little spiritual children so much that they are in a household without judgment, and they have such spiritual gifts that it's unbelievable what these kids are going to do when they grow up and change the world. And so identifying that purpose, it doesn't really have to be a big business thing, right? It can just be even being Absolutely. The energy of the earth mother gardener that, you know, inspires others in their neighborhood to garden.
Absolutely. And I talk about that in my book, that sometimes we have these grandiose ideas or plans of saving the world. And again, this is a culture, we're culturally bombarded with movies and all of these things. Now, almost every movie that we see, whether it's an action movie or a heartfelt movie, has something to do with affecting momentous change in the world. And pardon me, life is not in the big moments. Life is actually in the small details, and it's the little things that you do every day that actually defines your life, what your experience is, and what your legacy is. I mean, look at the famous people. I teach at my local city college. I could mention Paul Newman, and if he didn't have, like, his spaghetti sauce, these kids would have no idea who Paul Newman was. So it doesn't matter. Or, you know, you could even, you know, some of the bigger names, Frank Sinatra, they're like, well, was that a politician? And so it's not whether you do this grand thing that made you famous that everybody knew about. It's how many lives or hearts did you touch in a deep and profound way? And it could just be one. And it might not even be human lives that you touched in a deep and profound way. Maybe you choose to work with animals. And or maybe you choose, like you said, the earth mother garden person. So maybe you're creating this amazing garden and people walk by your house and they're delighted by the feeling of what it's like to just be in the presence of your garden. They don't even know who you are, and you changed their day. You might have put a smile on someone's face who had a horrible day and didn't know how they were going to live another day, and they walked by your flowers and suddenly they've been inspired. So we don't need to know as much how what we're doing is impacting others as that we're doing something that makes our heart sing, that we feel connected in some way and some aspect, whether it's with nature, whether it's with animals, whether it's with other people, whether we're creating that one ultimate idea that changes the face of business. However you want to move through the world, and that's why it's connecting with the true meaning of wealth for you and what your big enough why is. And the reality is nobody does that one big, huge thing without the help of hundreds of other people to get them to that point. So that one person might be the face of the event, but that event happened from all of the hundreds of people that were participating, helping, and supporting. And so that's ultimately where the joy of life comes in and connecting with what that purpose is. And as we move through our different life stages and have different experiences, that purpose will change for us. So at one point, so now you're identifying your purpose as creating this safe, nurturing, and welcoming space for your children. Well, there's going to be a point when your children are off living their lives. So then your purpose will change and transform into something else.
Then my purpose will be to party. No, I'm just kidding.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. Everybody needs a party.
I'm just kidding. They're a lot of work right now because of ballet, football, soccer, and you name it. But No, that's true. And we can move through our life in different stages, and it can change. Because I think a lot of times we think, oh, if I define my purpose, that has to be my purpose and it, forever. And so that's a good point. So, Janine, with our closing thoughts, is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with? We've sure had a great time today. I'm so glad you were on the show.
Well, thank you. It's been absolutely delightful to be here today. And if I were going to leave the audience with one thing that I would just really encourage them to do, is I really want to help everyone connect with their money on a physical level. And so I would like them to, for at least 1 week, and if they're really feeling bold, for 1 month, use nothing but cash. So when they go out into the world and they want to purchase something, that they use cash. And if they don't have cash in their hand, then they can't buy it. And using cash is not using your debit card. And see what it feels like to have dollar bills and, you know, or the folding, not just dollar bills, but, you know, fives, 20s, 100s, 50s, and your pocket with coins. And that's what you pay for. And look at how different it is to move through the world and what it feels like when you're parting with your hard-earned cash versus just swiping a card. And I would love to hear about it. And they could feel free to send me an email at success@JanineElias.com and share with me what that was like for them and how that, what they learned from doing that. I would love to hear about it.
You know, that's a good lesson also for kids. I'm thinking, you know, my kids have no idea when I have to go buy them cleats and everything else. It's $500 worth of gear for their sports or something. Mm-hmm. And if they saw me actually take the cash out, they might appreciate it a little bit more too. So I can see how that wouldn't only help myself, but maybe children.
Well, and also children, I think it's very powerful to give children household chores and to give them an allowance. So in order to be a contributing member of society, you contribute and in turn you get paid, and then they take their allowance and spend it. And then as they spend it, then they don't have any more money, and that you also put them on a budget and say, you know, when you take your kids to the store, they're, mommy, I want this, mommy, I want that. And, well, do you have any money? Do you have some money? If you have any of your allowance left, you can buy it. If you don't, then there's no money for it. And the first couple times they might stare at you and throw a temper tantrum, but they'll get the idea and say, okay, so now I've got my allowance and I've been wanting this. Do I have enough? And you teach them the value of money that way. Very powerful lessons.
Well, that's another great tip. And thank you so much, Janine, for being on the show. Her website is JanineElias.com. And it's just been a pleasure, Janine.
It's been a pleasure talking with you today, Christina. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. And to all of you listening, thank you so much for joining us. And I hope this show inspires you to have a better relationship with your money. Please contact me anytime at ChristinaWinslow.com. I love feedback about the show, and also connect with me on Twitter. So that way you never miss a show, and we give all kinds of updates and free offers and great things. And thank you to BBS Radio. We love you. And my producer, Doug. Have a great week, everyone, and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.